everyone, it's Chloe, and I'm so excited to share something fabulous with you, Vogue's first ever global fashion community, Vogue Club. Our members get to mingle with Vogue editors, yes, including me, and fellow fashion enthusiasts at exclusive events around the world. And that's just the start. Membership opens doors to the fashion industry, bringing you expert career advice and insider style and beauty tips. What are you waiting for? Head over to Vogue.com/membership to join, and here's a little treat. Use code TRT20 and snag 20% off your membership. That's TRT20 for 20% off your ticket to Vogue Club. Are you in? This is The Run-Through. I'm Chloe Mal.
And I'm Cho Minardi, and the end of the year is really upon us.
What?
I know. Raven Smith, our columnist, wrote a very funny piece called The Ludicrously Capacious Year of 2023, and with a reference to the Succession Burberry bag that we all know and love.
Yes.
But it's true that 2023 feels like a extremely long and packed year from many different angles. And this week, Chom and I had so much fun. We talked to Nicole Phelps and Virginia Smith about what fashion moments of 2023 really stood out for them and what they're happy to forget, what they will always remember. And I think we all had a lot to say and a lot of fun discussing. So stay tuned for that. But first, Choma, tell me about what the holiday break means for you.
Some time to sleep. Yeah, I feel like we're all feeling a bit of like end of year fatigue. It's just been... Yeah, what an intense year. So I'm ready to sort of take some time offline.
Yes.
I'm going to be spending the holidays with my family in the UK, my nephews, my brother, my aunt, my sister-in-law. It's going to be very festive. The UK is super festive. I'm looking in front of me. There is an ice rink right in front of my window in Hanover Square. And there are sort of trees lit up everywhere. I feel like when it comes to Christmas, like London wins at Christmas. Like it is just, you can't move for like festive spirit.
I know. I do feel like I have dreams of going to London at Christmas time one day. New York at Christmas
good,
is
yeah,
it's a delight.
What's your plan? What are your plans?
Well, this weekend, I mean, at 8 a.m., because that's what happens when your children wake up at 6:30. At 8 a.m., Arthur and I went on an expedition to see the tree at Rockefeller Center, which he couldn't care less
about.
He was like, okay, it's a tree. But we were excited to watch the ice skaters, and he calls it the Rocka Rocka Center, which frankly is more appealing. And then I'm going to Los Angeles with our whole crew, and I have family there, and my mom will be there. And
You grew up there.
I grew up there. My mom and I are taking Arthur to Disneyland, which he's probably, we could wait like 2 years, but my mother's more excited than anyone. So we are going as a group and we are very excited. And Arthur has said he's most excited to see Maleficent, which I think shows some real fashion forward notes on his part. Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about, which is Vogue Runway was inspired by The Athletic, the New York Times sports website, did a poll of like 100 industry insiders on their favorite sports games of the year and blah, blah, blah. And that inspired Nicole Phelps and the Vogue Runway team to do a similar poll for Vogue Runway of the—
I took said poll.
I know, we all did, and we loved it. And they really— Jose Criales-Unzueta, our esteemed— often the Run-Through contributor, was the master of the poll and wrote it up. And he really went out to over 100 industry insiders. And it sort of— it's very revealing. Favorite collection of the year was far and away Prada Spring 24. Favorite designer of the year by a long shot was Jonathan Anderson, which I thought was really interesting. Most underrated designer was Martine Rose, Choma's favorite.
Mm-hmm. Love her.
This is kind of like a mini CFDAs, the people, the critics, the people's choice CFDAs.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go through that with a fine tooth comb.
I know, it's amazing. And then it's been really fun to see all of the end of year content we've been doing on the site. Like Hannah Jackson did a really fun piece on the best celebrity pap walks. And there were some great moments to be remembering, from Jeremy Allen White's doing push-ups on the sidewalk to Lupita and Joshua Jackson's sort of relationship hard launch. Also, Sarah Spellings did a really fun piece on a glossary of all the micro trends of 2023. And that was very funny and tongue-in-cheek, but also helpful and interesting to be like, the coastal Nona versus tomato girl summer. I mean, TikTok has really expanded our vocabulary in a way that maybe really I could do without, but nevertheless.
I know. On the other end of that, which I thought was quite impressive, Emily Chan on the British Vogue team here, she did a story about only buying 5 items of clothing.
I know. I couldn't believe that. I saw that this weekend.
You know, Emily's been such a champion for all of our sustainability content, and she does all the coverage on COP and is constantly in contact with designers who are kind of leading the way as far as sustainability. And yeah, she set herself a really difficult challenge. And wow, like reading about it was quite impressive because I definitely would fail within a month. Or two, at least.
No, I can't imagine. Hard. I also want to know if like things people give her count, does vintage count? I haven't read the piece yet, but I'm very excited about it and have a lot of questions. So I'm glad that I'm not the only one who's engaged and that it's been a runaway hit. The run-through will be back in just a moment.
We've all been there before. You're planning a dinner party or having family over or even just cooking for yourself when all of a sudden it starts to feel overwhelming.
I live in a very small one-bedroom apartment with a very small kitchen.
I can't figure out what to serve besides water soup at this point.
I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, and this is Dinner SOS, a new podcast from Bon Appetit. Maybe it's a last-minute party with no menu inspiration, a kitchen with no space, a toddler who will only eat buttered pasta. Name your dinner emergency. We're here to help. Here's how the show works. On each episode, we'll take a call from a home cook facing a real dinner emergency. Then I'll work with one of our editors or someone from our amazing test kitchen to try and solve it. Because cooking for the people you love should inspire joy without a side of stress. Make sure you're following Dinner SOS wherever you're listening now.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Maybe a chef-grade range made you want to hone your cooking skills, or a high-tech tennis racket made you want to work on your backhand. I recently bought a new pair of running shoes, and that made me love hitting the pavement again. Well, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. And we're back.
So some of our most listened to episodes on the run through were actually with our colleagues, Nicole Phelps, who is the global director of Vogue Runway, and Virginia Smith, who's Vogue global head of fashion. And my favorite conversations have always been with them, honestly. So I was really happy to see our listeners were just as excited about hearing them talk about fashion as I was. So we thought we'd bring them back on the show to talk about all the fashion that took the world by storm this year.
And we also got to hear from some of our other friends from around the Vogue offices around the world. Choma, I'm curious, what fashion do you want to leave in 2023?
I'm ready to let go of quiet luxury. I'm not a quiet girl, so no thank you. So I'm ready to bring in some like something with a bit of noise to it. Maybe something embellished or something that makes noise when you walk, like Erykah Badu likes, just not quiet luxury. Thank you.
Choma, how dare you? How dare you? As someone who loves boring, quiet luxury and has been dressing like that for years, it's a mainstay in my wardrobe.
Nicole, quiet luxury?
Yeah, I would say I'm probably a quiet luxury girl myself, too.
So who do we think was the standout designer this year?
I think Mathieu Blasé, the designer, is a personal favorite of probably all of ours. Nicole, you did such an incredible talk with him at Forces of Fashion this year. You know, there's an intelligence. He's also very nice, very handsome, and just seems very charming and just seems to really looking at design in a very intelligent way, but also doesn't not taking it too seriously, except when in terms of craftsmanship. But he's just really adorable and sort of fabulous.
Agree. Hard agree.
Well, everyone loved Nicole and Mathieu's talk. I feel like that was the winner from Forces of Fashion.
Agree. A hard agree. It was so good.
What other designers really won 2023, so to speak? Who'd you say it was like their year?
I mean, Miu Miu has been so influential for the past few years. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible the influence you've seen from Miuccia Prada on the runways.
I can't believe people are actually wearing no pants out.
People are wearing it. It's a thing.
It's a real thing. I completely thought it would just be runway to editorial. And it's like, even Claire Foy today, who I don't think of as a particular
pantless
red carpet renegade, and she was a pantless in Prada.
Do you think that's what we're going to be seeing? Are you seeing it a party season out in the world? I still I've seen a couple of people kind of wearing it, like, you know, civilians. Have you seen any?
No, I've really only seen it on the red carpet, except for Kendall wore it, civilian in
yeah,
quotes.
I think the civilian equivalent is all of the, you know, like the jog bras and the Lycra bike shorts that women
boxer
have been
briefs.
Wearing on the city streets, you know, since COVID. This, you know, everybody's in exercise clothes. Everybody is showing off their body and, you know, maybe those biker shorts, those, you know, the tight biker shorts will just keep getting shorter.
Prediction for 2024.
Yes.
Shorter
bike
shorts.
So many little baby hot pants, weren't there, all over. That was the one trend I probably am going to leave for other people to try.
Yeah, we didn't really like that trend on the spring 24 runways. Note to designers.
So these are some of the trends on the streets of New York. But before we move on, here's what happened in 2023 overseas.
Hi, I'm Francesca from Vogue Italia, the head of editorial content. The trend I saw in 2023 in Italy is an iconic one. It's like dressing as a Milanese shura, dressing like old ladies. It's actually pretty cool. You always want to dress like a shura with like this gold jewelry and a little furry and the knit kitten heels and the longette pencil skirt. So I always love this trend.
We love Fran, and we also are huge fans of the grandma look. Now, from one of our colleagues on some of the looks he's seen in London.
Hi, my name is Daniel Rogers. I'm the fashion writer at British Vogue. I think this year I've begun to see something that I can only really refer to as nonsense dressing, which is the kind of young people on TikTok or in certain areas of London who wear things like track shorts with cowboy boots and some kind of fancy dress shirt. I'd say it's about making strange and blasé statements with clothes, like mashing formal wear with sportswear, high femme with more laddish accents.
What were the biggest, most overarching trends of 2023, would you say?
I think it was all about the concert tour this year. I think it was less about a red carpet and more about the concert extravaganza. I mean, starting with Rihanna at the Super Bowl in her fabulous Loewe jumpsuit, and then continuing to Beyoncé's summer runway tour. I mean, it was just a tour de force in fashion and music.
The concert tour was such a phenomenon because it created trends like the friendship bracelets, which we wrote about in the It Items of the Year from Taylor Swift. And there's like a sense of community at these shows, and there are like badges and codes that the fans share, and it sort of trickles out. It feels like a new way for trends to start. These concerts.
Here is one of our Vogue Runway colleagues on the accessories that define 2023.
I'm Laia Garcia Furtado, and I'm the senior fashion news editor at Vogue Runway. I feel like the accessories of the year are definitely shoes. The first one is a Martine Rose Nike sneaker. They're like a Nike Shox, but it's a mule, and it's a really weird color, and it looks weird. And then another shoe that I feel like was everywhere was the Mary Jane Flat, specifically the designer version of it by Alaya, which was like studded or lace or cut or mesh or like embellished with crystal. And then the last shoe, it's a Margiela Tabby.
Ladies of NYC, be fucking aware. This man is out here on Tinder and Hinge, and he will steal from you. So this is a story about how that fucker stole my Mary Jane Tabbies.
This year, I feel like they went mainstream, especially once that girl on TikTok went on a date and they stole her pair of Tabbies.
And if you know who he is, where he lives, or anything about him, let me know, because I deserve retribution and I want my fucking shoes back.
Does everyone have a best red carpet look of the year?
Oh, that's a tough question, Chloe.
One?
Okay, you can have a couple. You can have one that pops to mind. I'll tell you mine just because it's top of mind. I loved Emma Corrin in the Princess Diana-inspired white tuxedo with the sheer skirt. I just love that they do their thing and really dress the way they want to. And I loved Sienna Miller in her bump-bearing Schiaparelli at Vogue World.
You know, Beyonce looms large in my life. I did think she looked amazing in the silver Versace at her film premiere with her newly blonde hair. I mean,
her Donatella cosplay.
It was pretty amazing.
It was epic.
Yeah, I loved Hunter Schafer, especially
oh, yes.
in the cutout peekaboo Silver McQueen by Sarah Burton. Just incredible.
She's looked great, really great recently.
Incredible.
Who won the red carpet this year? I mean, Greta Lee had amazing looks. There were so many people, but who consistently kind of nailed it?
Hunter, Greta.
What about Timmy? How does everybody feel?
I was just going to say, well, someone on our Celeb Style Slack this morning said that Timmy in his shiny brown suit yesterday was dressing as an actual chocolate bar. So he was
doing
real.
Oh, I missed that one. I mean, he can wear anything and look amazing.
Yeah, method dressing.
The bar is hot. I mean, he's definitely still by far and away the most exciting when it comes to men's. I mean, there are lots of men who dress well now, but I think it's difficult to top him. I mean, Paul Mescal always looks good too. I mean, there are a few guys.
Yeah.
And my favorite was Virginia Smith in her archival Alexander
that was
McQueen.
So good.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. No, it was so amazing to wear that. And I was so happy and so thrilled they let me wear it.
Can you describe it?
It was just the most perfect menswear suit with this amazing ruffle.
Oh, the ruffles.
The ruffles,
I
yes.
I love that so
yes.
much.
It was great. Thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me wear it. It's one of my favorite Met looks I've ever worn, I would have to say.
It was fabulous.
Fantastic.
It's so good.
And my second vote for Met Gala look is Kristen Stewart, who I loved that she was
so
in that
cute.
Boyish tuxedo and wearing flats. I think that understatement goes a long way, you know, in a moment when everybody else is sort of going the other direction. So I thought she looked great.
And now another great red carpet look this year.
I'm Jose. I'm a fashion news writer at Vogue Runway. Danielle Brooks just wore, I think, recently a Moschino look from the red carpet. It was a look that wasn't Precious Lee on the runway. And I think the reason why I loved it so much was not just because it was super fab, but also because that's why it's so important to have other kinds of sizes on the runway, because then actors who are not sample size can also have a red carpet moment that is off the runway. So I love that.
I'm very excited for the award season.
Me too. I think people are going to really go for it.
Hi, we're Carlene and Jill, hosts of Breaking Beauty Podcast, the show all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty.
On our show, you're going to find hella inspiring guests like Emily Weiss of Glossier,
and you'll get beauty tips galore from the top pros in the industry, like Kim Kardashian's makeup guru, and you'll hear skincare secrets from the likes of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Plus, you'll get shopping help with our Damn Goods episodes, where we review the latest products hitting store shelves to let you know what's actually worth your money.
Listen every Wednesday to Breaking Beauty Podcast.
favorite emerging designer of the year?
I think Rachel Scott of Diotima had a great year. I mean, she was a finalist for the Vogue CFDA Fashion Fund, and then she ended up winning Emerging Designer of the Year at the CFDA Awards. And I have to say, everyone who was wearing her clothes there, I thought looked really incredible. Those needlepoint dresses are so beautiful, and I feel like it was really a great year for her.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to another New York based woman designer, who is Hillary Tamor at Kalina Strada. I loved everything about the show she put on in September, especially the way she sent the models out. They were walking down the runway with a very weird, almost psychotic smile, and then they turned around and put on this frown. And the theater of it was really great. And I just really respect everything that she's trying to do to make a collection that is sustainable, but also so much fun and so full of life.
It's been fun being back in London because I've gotten to reconnect with a lot of young designers here, but there are a couple who I've mentioned on the show before who I'm just getting to know, and one of them is Michael Stewart from Standing Ground. He makes these in sort of incredible draped couture level dresses with a very kind of intricate details, that almost like padded, like a padded hip, or there'll be kind of beading going through underneath the skin of a dress, so it has this texture to it. They're just really beautiful and special. I think you usually associate London with kind of a more kind of street level kind of grit. And he's really glamorous and refined, his clothes are. So I am excited to see what he does next.
Yes, it feels like somebody should wear his dresses on the
circuit. On the red carpet. Mm-hmm. Hunter would be great in them. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone would be great in them. They're just so beautiful. I've always loved what Supriya Lele does. And now she's opened up an art gallery and she's kind of thinking outside the world of fashion. Such a great point of view and wonderful taste. So to see her world kind of expand as a young designer, because I think a lot of designers, they're thinking, well, what's next for me? Like, how can I kind of bring people into my world? And I think this is a really smart way for her to do it, and a kind of a natural extension of what she does. And things are tough for young designers, you know. I think retail isn't in an easy, stable place, and you kind of have to think creatively and kind of lean into what you love, right? Because that's, you know, that's so important now, to kind of feel like you're doing, like your heart's in it. And you can just tell that she puts her heart and soul into all of it. So I'm excited by her.
Hi, I'm Christian Allaire. I'm Vogue's senior fashion writer. And my favorite designer of the year was an emerging designer called John Tay Kam. He's a Plains Cree designer from Saskatchewan, and he does a lot of sort of avant-garde sculptural gowns made out of ribbons and feathers, sort of nodding back to his Indigenous roots. And I think he's going to be a big star in the future, so watch out for him.
Nicole, you had a piece come out from Vogue Runway that Mark Holgate wrote, that I think he writes every year, on what actually sold this year. And he interviews a lot of retailers, and it's always interesting to see what translates from the runways into people's closets.
Yes. It's sort of another way of talking about where trends are coming from. You know, mm-hmm. if they're coming from Beyonce and Taylor Swift's tour, they're also coming from small, underground, not that well-known designers around the world. Doosan is one that I think a couple of retailers name-checked. And, you know, that's a name that I wasn't really very familiar with. It turns out that the person who's doing that collection worked for Zoran in, many, many years ago.
My mom wears a lot of Zoran.
And so talking about quiet luxury, sort of exemplary of that trend. And there's many, many more labels that Mark talked about with these different retailers that I had never heard of. So for me, it's like a real education, and interesting to learn that retailers are, you know, really going far off the runway to get clothes that are working for women. And, you know, what does that say about the runway? It's curious, you know.
What about model of the year?
Model of the year was Maggie Smith in the Loewe ads.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, brilliant. Yeah. That was amazing.
I think my models of the year would be both Paloma and Anok, because they both had such amazing years and they're both such... I mean, there are so many great models. It's difficult to pick favorites.
We should probably mention Daria, who made her comeback at
Gucci.
Oh, yeah,
Daria's comeback.
Surprising everyone, because we all thought she would come back for Phoebe. And Daria and Sabato at Gucci were friends 20 years ago when they were both starting out in the industry. And Sabato was an assistant in the pattern maker's studio at Prada. And that's how they got to know each other. I guess they've been, you know, friends or close ever since. And so he asked her to be in his first campaign.
That was a very good one. What about designers we lost or designer exits of the year? I'm thinking of Sarah Burton at McQueen, which was, I think, very emotional for everyone. And people felt very strongly about the end of a really exquisite era, perhaps.
Yeah, that's a hard one just because, you know, I think we've all loved what Sarah has done there for so many years. But as someone pointed out, you know, it's certainly not the end of Sarah Burton. And I think it'll be really amazing to see what she does on her own without the history of McQueen. And I'm excited to see what she does next. But obviously, that sparked a lot of controversy in terms of having so many male creative directors at the top of houses and the lack of female creative directors at so many houses. So that's certainly a topic that we have been discussing in the last few months.
Hi, I'm Laura Ingham, the Deputy Director of the Global Fashion Network here at Vogue. I think that the very sad passing of Dame Vivienne Westwood in December 2022 had a huge impact on the collections that we saw and worked with in February and March this year, and then subsequently shot over the pages of Vogue and globally this summer. I think, you know, of course we all know and love her provocative and punk aesthetic, and to see that influence and her influence and her legacy sort of trickling through the collections in March this year was really inspiring, and one that I'll remember as redefining the movement and the trends that we worked towards and the phages and the fashion that we put together this year.
This year, we talked about a lot of runway shows that we loved, and here are a few more that really stood out.
Hi, my name is Carla Martinez de Salas. I'm the head of content for Vogue Mexico and Latin America. Personally, one of my favorite shows and one of the most emotional shows, I would say, was Willy Chavarria's last show in downtown Manhattan, where the entire soundtrack was Latin songs that really reminded me of what my parents used to listen to when I was growing up. And just those beautiful jackets with the roses, I kind of felt like I was in like 1960s ballroom in Mexico.
Hi, it's Laird Borelli-Person, the archive editor at Vogue Runway. I will say Duran Lantink, who shows in Paris and who is doing wonderful things, in my opinion, with silhouettes, padding, odd shapes, things that really make you think and force us to look at the body in new ways.
I also loved Luar's show in September, just seeing the energy in the room. It was 8 o'clock. We were out in Bushwick. He came out and he was emotional and had tears in his eyes. And those two designers, the fact that they're so in tune with their roots and where they come from, I think is great.
What about favorite runway this year? Either shows or runway look? Is there any that stands out?
Well, I was not there, and I was very lemon-lipped, as our colleague Hamish Bowles would say.
I love when Hamish says that.
I was very much wish I would have been at Pharrell's debut in Vuitton because it did look like such an amazing, amazing show.
And that's what it was, a real show. It really brought back drama, performance, excitement. That's a good point. We didn't touch on that. It's rare that I find that fashion shows really bleed into other culture. I had sort of friends of my husband being like, oh, what was that? What was happening? And so it's nice when you feel that relevancy. Now let's shift gears and talk about the Vogue covers we loved this year. This is one we definitely can't forget.
Hi, my name is Willow Lindley. I am the Fashion Market and Collaborations Director here at Vogue, and Margot Robbie in her role for Barbie, styled by Gabriella Kirifa Johnson and shot by Ethan James Green. That was a super fun shoot. Gab and I, we hadn't been able to see more than about 5 minutes of part of the film, and we were deep in Reddit forums about spoilers and any sort of hints and tips we could get from people out there trying to build this story in this sort of futuristic world of Barbie, finding that perfect balance between humor and seriousness and celebrating the actress as well as the subject was really well accomplished.
Yeah, Barbie's felt like such a fun cover. There were a lot of good ones. I loved Erica too. I thought Erica was beautiful. And obviously, like, you know, you and I have spent time with Badu. She's a fun time.
I mean, her Objects of Affection video goes down in history.
You mean amazing. In the Badudio?
I mean, amazing. Amazing. I have to say the end of the year with Nicki Minaj is also sort of a heartfelt favorite, too. I mean, with her first Vogue cover, and that's always so special for anyone. And we did a Zoom with her. Shum, were you on that? It was Anne and I did a Zoom with her. Were
you
on?
In the beginning. She was so excited.
Right? She said she cried when she heard, you know, and it was so sweet. And the response to it, and also Erica, the response to that cover was pretty incredible to both. So it's just so nice when that happens.
All right. That's it for this episode.
Thank you, guys.
So great hearing from you guys about what made fashion great in 2023, and we can't wait to see what we are all wearing or not wearing in 2024.
Yes, and we'll be back next week with an exciting episode. Happy holidays!
The Run Through of Vogue is a production of Condé Nast Entertainment.
The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns. It's engineered by Jake Loomis and Gabe Quiroga and mixed by Mike Kutchman.
See you soon.
Bye.
Get balanced or thrive trying. My name is Les, and I'm the host of Balanced Black Girl, a podcast dedicated to helping you feel your best. Join me for casual conversations about what it means to live a well-rounded life. I cover everything from how to make friends as an adult to how to create a workout routine that works for you to how to practice better financial wellness. Tune in for approachable conversations with wellness thought leaders and inspiring guests, as well as intimate solo chats with me for relatable advice. Follow wherever you get your podcasts and look out for new episodes every Tuesday.